This is NPR.
Thanks, Allison. Good morning, everyone. Leaders in China are warning of a life and death struggle with the Dalai Lama as they seek to end the most intense anti-Chinese unrest in Tibet in almost five decades. NPR's Louisa Lim reports from Shanghai.
Tibet's Communist Party Secretary Jiang Qingli told officials they were in the midst of a fierce blood and fire struggle with the exiled Tibetan leader, the Dalai Lama. They've accused him of orchestrating the protests sweeping across the Tibetan plateau, a charge he denies vehemently. Chinese state-run media say 105 people in Lhasa have now surrendered to the police for their part in Friday's violent riots. Xinhua News Agency has released more details of those events, saying a handful of lawless people chanted separatist slogans, burnt down more than 200 houses and shops, destroyed more than 50 cars, killed 13 people and injured dozens of policemen. These claims cannot be independently verified. The Tibetan government in exile says 99 people have been killed in protests, mostly by the security forces.
That was NPR's Louisa Lim reporting from Shanghai. We'll have more on the situation in Tibet later in the show. President Bush is marking the fifth anniversary of the Iraq invasion with a speech that warns against pulling back from the war effort. Last night, the White House released excerpts of today's address to the Pentagon. The president says the buildup of troops has worked to calm the violence and led to, quote, the first large-scale Arab uprising against Osama bin Laden. Across the Potomac River in Washington, D.C., anti-war activists are planning major demonstrations against the conflict. The American death toll is nearing 4,000, with another 29,000 wounded. So far, the Iraq War has cost the U.S. roughly $500 billion. A Supreme Court case on a handgun ban in the District of Columbia could change a long-standing interpretation of the Second Amendment right for individuals to bear arms. The last time the Supreme Court ruled on this issue was in 1939, when it upheld a federal ban on sawed-off shotguns. That ruling was based on the collective right of militias and military personnel to bear arms. But this time, the justices are taking a different kind of look. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
A majority of the justices indicated a sharply different view from the 1939 court, an individual right view. Chief Justice Roberts.
If it is limited to state militias, why would they say the right of the people?
Justice Scalia.
But why isn't it perfectly plausible, indeed reasonable, to assume that since the framers knew that the way militias were destroyed by tyrants in the past was not by passing a law against militias, but by taking away the people's weapons? That was the way militias were destroyed. The two clauses go together beautifully.
And the justice whose vote is widely viewed as decisive in this case, Justice Kennedy.
In effect, the amendment says we reaffirm the right to have a militia. We've established it. But in addition, there is a right to bear arms.
Four justices, a minority, indicated a more traditional view of the Second Amendment, that it was hinged to military service.
NPR's Nina Totenberg. That's the news for now. It's always online at npr.org.
This is NPR.